bring anything other than the Word tonight, because that's what we need. Tonight, if you have a copy of God's Word, I want to challenge you to go to the book of Hosea, chapter 4. I believe that in this modern age, we have a problem, and it's found here in Hosea. For you see, here in Hosea chapter 4, God's Word points out that He has a problem with two people. First off, He has a problem with the people, His people. And He has a problem with the priest. May I ask you tonight, how many of you in this room are fathers? How many of you in this room are grandfathers? Your priest in your home. Are you being the priest in your home? We are challenged and we are called by God's Word to be priests, whether we want to be, whether we don't. We are called and delegated. We have that responsibility to be a priest in our home. And the problem today is we ain't got enough men being priests in their homes, and our homes are being problems. And now God has a problem with America today because of us. We point the finger at the lost people. We say, oh, the problem in America is the lost people. Let me tell you, the problem ain't the lost people. They're doing what they know to do. They're lost. The problem's on us, the children of God. We have the responsibility to lead by example. We have a responsibility to pray. Listen to me, I know that come tomorrow, we're going to inaugurate a new president. But let me ask you a question. The last 4 years, how many times have you prayed for Biden and that administration? We've prayed for Trump, and oh, listen to me, I prayed whoever won the election was the one God wanted. But we got a duty, whether we agree with who's in office, whether we don't agree with them, we got a duty to pray for them. And that's on us. It starts with us men tonight. And I challenge you men tonight, be the priest in your home, because God has a problem with the people today. You see here today, He says there's a lack of knowledge. We're going to get into that. I ask you tonight if you're able to stand in reverence for the reading of God's Word. Hosea chapter 4 and verse number 6. God's Word says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. How sad that is. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, tonight, Father, as I come, I'm on my knees, Father, again. Father, I'm in over my head, Father. Father, I'm just the mouthpiece tonight, God, but you got to show up. And God, I feel your presence here tonight, God. Thank you for that sweet spirit. Now, God, move me out of the way, Father. May I decrease, and God, you increase tonight, God, because if they come to see Brother Michael, they come for the wrong reasons, God. We need a movement of God in our hearts and in our souls. We need a movement among your people, God, so that we can get back where we need to be, God. You've got a plan and purpose for all of us. God, reveal it tonight through your word. Be with me, lead me, guide me, direct me. Thank you, God, for this opportunity. Thank you, God, for Brother BJ and this church. I think about the memories I share in this building and the old building, God, and I rejoice in them. I looked around this room tonight, and I looked this morning when I come, God, and I'm thankful for the men and the women I've seen, the many memories. Oh, God, how good you are. Thank you tonight, Father, for those who've traveled. I know some tonight who's come a long way, Father, to be here. Brother Wolf, all the way from North Carolina, along with some of my brethren, all the way from Amory, Mississippi, and all over, God. I thank you, God, for these people that have gathered. Bless each home that's represented tonight. God, I pray, God, you just do as only you can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You see, I'm going to give you a little background. I don't want you to just pick up in verse 6. I want you to understand verse 6. Let's go back and read verses 1 through 4. He says, hear the word of the Lord. You see, that's the problem today. People don't want to hear the word of the Lord. They want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear what tickles their ears. They want to hear what makes them feel good. Let me tell you something. The word of God's cut me more times than I can count. It's a two-edged sword. It hurts going in and it hurts coming out. But thank God tonight we need that. Here a while back, I had a splinter in my finger. We was doing some work over there at our other house, and we was trying to get moved in. We was doing some flooring, and somehow a little piece of the flooring got into my hand. And I was sitting there at the house, and I told my wife, I said, oh, that thing's hitting. I said, you're going to have to reach in there and get that thing out. My little boy sat there and laughed at me and said, Daddy, what's wrong with you? You squirming all over the place. I said, son, she's about to kill me over here. I felt like she dug down to the bone. But I'm going to tell you what, I need to get that splinter out. Tell you what will happen, you don't get it out, it'll set up an infection. You'll get in trouble with it. You got to get it out. It don't matter how deep it is or not, you got to get it out. Let me tell you something today, the problem is sin still here in America. We don't want to hear that word, sin. Let me tell you something today, sin is sin. You can call it a white lie, that's just as guilty as a big lie. A little lie is as big as a big lie. A big lie is the same as a white lie. A white lie is the same as a black lie. You can call it a yellow lie, whatever you want to call it. A lie is a lie. Yes, we ain't supposed to do that. Yes, but the problem is we don't want to hear the word of the Lord. The Lord's word, hey, listen to me, you don't have to go anywhere else. Everything you need to know in life is found right here. How to live your life, what you're supposed to do is found right here in the word of God. Men, you want to know how to be a man of God? Read the word of God and live it. Women, you want to be a woman of God? Read the word of God. Live it. Quit trying to find some other way to please the Lord. He's give you the instructions right here. We got to live by it. Hear the word of the Lord. I thank God for Brother BJ, and I thank God for Brother Brian. I thank God for all these other men of God around this room that preach the word of God every Sunday, every Wednesday. That's what we need, just to preach the word of God. We ain't got to have nothing fancy. We need just the word of God in our lives. How many men of you in here is reading the word of God to your families at home? It ain't just the preacher's job to read the word of God to your children. It ain't just the church's job to teach your children about the word of God. Read the word of God to your children, your grandchildren. I had a man tell me not long ago, he said, Brother Michael, he said, I just can't get in that word of God. He said, man, there's a lot of them in the Old Testament, begats. And I said, hey, listen, just keep on reading through them. They'll end eventually, and you'll get to something you do understand. Just read the word of God. Let it come into your life. Let it change you. You need to hear the word of God in your life. He said there, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. But he don't just stop there, and he tells us why. Because there is no truth. And I'm going to tell you today, there ain't no truth. You want the truth that's found in the word of God. It ain't found in nothing else. There's no mercy in this land, nor knowledge of God in the land. You think about this. When they took prayer out of school, how'd that happen? One lady stood up and complained while the rest of the Christians sit back and didn't stand up and say nothing. Oh no, we don't want to offend them. We don't want to do that. And then we wonder why our school system's like they are. We wonder why our kids are dealing with drugs like they are. Because we ain't got the knowledge of God around us anymore. This is, let me tell you something. Last time I checked, we still in Alabama. We still in what they call the Bible Belt. Place that, listen to me, I didn't get asked to go to church when I grew up. I went to church. I'm going to tell you today, we need to get the knowledge of God back into our children, our grandchildren. And if we're going to give it to them, I'm going to give you this. You can't give it to somebody if you ain't got it. You got to have the knowledge. You got to have it to pass it to them. He says in verse 2, not only are them things right there in verse 1 the problem, he says by swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery. That's another thing we don't preach much on, committing adultery. No, that's just a common thing today, right? I mean, everybody does it. It don't matter if everybody does it. Adultery is still adultery. I don't care how you want to sugarcoat it. I don't care what title you want to put on it. Adultery is adultery. Live by the word of God. But we don't want to live by it today. Everybody else is doing it. Why can't we? I'll tell you why you can't tonight. Because you're a child of God. You're supposed to be different. You're supposed to be. Are you being different? He not only said there's lying, killing, stealing, adultery. He says they break out and blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn. And everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish. I firmly see that in America today. He says there that with the beast of the fields and with the fowls of heaven, Yea, the fish of the sea shall also be taken away. He says, yet let no man strive for nor reprove another, for thy people are they are as they that strive with the priest. You see, that's the problem we have today. That's a vivid description of America today. And then we get to our main text. That's just a little background, a little introduction. Now we get down to the main text in verse 6. He says, my people. He didn't say the lost people. He said, my people. If I ask you in this room, who all in here is a blood-bought, born-again child of God, I dare say nearly every hand will go up. I challenge you tonight, if you are God's child, start living it. Don't just say it. Don't just act like it. Oh, listen to me. We as children of God, we've gotten good at acting. We'll put on our Sunday best, and man, we'll come to church, and we'll act like every preacher will come by. Hey, brother. Hey, sister. How you doing? We'll hug. Oh, everything's great, brother. How many times y'all told Brother BJ that? Brother Brian, how many times you been told that by somebody? And you know they ain't doing good. You know their life's falling apart. But they come to church and they smile and say, oh, everything's good. It's good. I'm good. Listen, be real with ourselves. We ain't good. We need God to move in our lives. We need Him on Monday just as bad as we do on Sunday. We need Him on Wednesday. I thank God that some churches still have church on Wednesday night. I know a lot of churches don't have church on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Thank God for those that do, because we need the Word of God in our lives. He said here, my people. He didn't say the lost. He said, my people are what? Destroyed. He didn't just say they're not down. He said they're destroyed. And He tells us why. For lack of knowledge. I'm tell you now, He didn't say for lack of effort. He didn't say because you didn't try. He didn't say because you didn't give. I'm tell you now, you can give all you want to the church. That don't mean you're right with God. You can put all your whole life savings in that offering plate. That ain't going to get you to heaven. You get into heaven, you're going one way, and that's the blood of Jesus. You go into hell, you're going there one way because you deny the blood of Jesus. I had somebody tell me a couple years ago down there where I moved to in Vidalia. Great little piece of country. But I had somebody down there tell me, so you know, Brother Michael, there's only one way to heaven. There's a ton of ways to hell. And I said, no, there's only one way to heaven and one way to hell. You either go into heaven because of the blood or you go into hell because you denied Him. They said, well, Brother Michael, how is there all this sin if there's so much good? If one drop of blood can save you, why do we backslide? I said, listen to me. We human. Ask Brother BJ. He ain't perfect. Brother BJ's got sin in his life. I got sin in my life. But the difference is I take it to Jesus and say, Father, I'm sorry. I need forgiveness. I need you to cleanse me, God. And I'm not worthy of none of it. I don't know why God called this old boy from Beaverton, Alabama to preach. I look around this room and I think about some of my classmates. Tell you something, I had to cheat and get out of high school. I stand here unashamed. I barely got out of high school. English was my weak point. You give me math, science, history, I could do all that. Man, when it come to English, I'm failing it. I wouldn't get up in front of the class. Matter of fact, I nearly failed my senior year. Twice we had to give an oral report. I ain't getting up in front of no class. I ain't doing it. You know what I was thinking about when I was in school? I was thinking about getting out, going with Daddy and Papa to work. I didn't care nothing about that book report. I didn't care nothing about them oral reports. I wanted to get out and do something. I wouldn't get up in front of people. I didn't like standing in front of people. But God called me to preach. He said, I want to call you and use you. I said, God, I don't know half these words in this Bible. And I'm going to tell you to this day, I've been going over at North Mississippi Baptist Bible Institute. This will be my wrapping up my seventh semester. And I still can't say some of them words in there right. But I tell you what I do know. I know Jesus. I know the author of that book. I may not can pronounce some of them words, but I got a knowledge of Him now. Listen to me, I grew up in Beaverton Baptist Church, right over there, not very far from here. I could sing the songs. I could tell you the stories. I had a head knowledge of Jesus, but that didn't save me till I got the heart knowledge. So many people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. You know what that is? That's the average distance between your brain and your heart. So many people are going to miss heaven by that much. Oh, they got a head knowledge. They know of the Lord. But I'm talking about having a real knowledge of Him tonight. I've seen him in my life. I've seen him at times that I went down on the altar and I cried out and I had tears flowing. I said, God, I ain't got nothing to offer you, but I know I need you, God. And he shows up and he says, I got you, my child. I've seen him move through preaching and singing. I've seen God. He's real tonight. I don't have just a head knowledge. I have a heart knowledge. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Let me give you this. I had to write my little cheat sheet down. I'm still like I am in high school. Brother BJ, I don't know if you're like me, but I got to have something to keep me on track. If I don't, I get off track. Now, I know Brother BJ said this because I wrote it in my Bible. Sometimes you got to chase a few rabbits to get a little meat. But don't get too far off the course, though. I wrote this down. I had this quote, and I used it about 2 weeks ago at our church on a Wednesday night. It says this, do not let the fear of not knowing what to do keep you from doing what you know to do. So many times we make excuses for God. God, I don't know this, and God, I don't know that. Listen to me. When God called me in the ministry, you know what I had a brother tell me? And this is true. And it was over at the old church right over there. That's where I was ordained at. I still remember them men coming and praying. And I remember one of them old men in particular come by and he said, Brother Michael, I'm going to tell you something. He said, God factored in your stupidity when he called you. I said, thank you, brother. Thank you, God. Listen to me. It don't matter how much you know or how much you don't know. As long as you know the author of the book, you know Jesus, that's what you need in your life. He said, my people are destroyed for knowledge. So many times we make excuses for God. Well, God, I can't sing. God, I can't preach. God, I can't teach because of this or that. Just let God have it, and he'll use you in a way you never thought possible. I never dreamed. Listen to me. 3 years ago in February, I had been in Vidalia, Louisiana for 3 years. In February. February will be 3 years. Hard to believe it. Don't even seem like it. February will be 3 years. I still don't know how in the world they got my name. Still don't know how in the world they got a hold of me. I never sent a resume. I never put it all out there. Next thing I know, I get a call from a guy in Vidalia, Louisiana. Says, hey, we've been watching you on Facebook. We want you to come down and preach for us. So, brother, I don't know about all that. Vidalia is a long way. God put me there. Listen to me, I'm not knowledgeable. I've been to North Mississippi Baptist Bible Institute, still going over there getting me a little knowledge. Brother Kevin, Brother Ronnie, and Brother Don, great men of God. You know why I went there? Because the only book they use is this right here. They don't use nothing else. When my pastor signed me up to go over there, I said, wait a minute, brother, I can't afford books. I can't write reports. He said, you got a Bible? I said, I do. He said, that's all you need. He says, that's all they're going to preach from. That's all they're going to teach from is this right here. This is all we need in our lives is the Word of God. We need it in our lives. I got to move quickly. Not only did he say there the lack of knowledge, he said that, but why do we have a lack of knowledge? And he tells us why. If you study God's Word long enough, you'll see this. It's because we have a lack of love. We have a lack of knowledge of God because we have a lack of love for God. Think about it like this. Some of y'all in here are a little older than me, but think about this. Whenever you started dating your wife. Oh, yeah. If you're like me, I fell in love at first sight. But I didn't know what love was. I thought I knew what love was. Hey, man, she had me done wrapped already. I knew. I said, I'm going to marry her someday. I just love her. But I didn't know what true love was. When you get to know somebody, that's when you start to know what love is. We have a lack of knowledge today because we have a lack of love for God. We don't love God enough. He tells us to love him with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind. But you know what happens so many times? We'll just love him with that little bit we're willing to sacrifice. Much like these altars. I think about these altars. How many times do we come to an altar and we pray and then we get right back up and we take it right back to the pew with us because we don't love him enough. We don't trust him enough. You see, that's what it all leads to. We have a lack of knowledge because we have a lack of love. We have a lack of love because we have a lack of trust. We don't trust him. We say, oh, wait a minute now, Lord. I don't know if you can handle this, God. I think I can handle this. You know what I found out in my life? The biggest messes are the ones Michael makes. When I put it on the altar and I say, God, it's yours, and I leave it, God will straighten any mess out. Ain't nothing he can't straighten out. I've heard people say to me, Brother Michael, I'd love to be saved, but you know, I got a bad past and I'm struggling with this, struggling with that. Let me tell you something. I don't know your story, but I'll tell you this. God knows your story. God knew my story. And he loved me enough that he straightened me out. And if he can straighten me out, he can straighten you out. Ain't nothing too big for my God. I trust him with all my stuff. My family, God's given them to me. My church that I pastor, God's give it to me. My little home that I get to call home down there every day, God give it to me. It's all God's. It ain't mine. I'm just using it. God's delegated me to be over it. But it's God's. It ain't mine. Thank God for what he's given us. But I trust him with everything I have. Not just some of the things. Trust him with all of it. You want to have a knowledge of God, you got to love God. You can't love God if you don't trust God. And I want to challenge you tonight. The reason they have no knowledge is because they lack love. They lack truth. They lack trust. But then it all boils down to this one thing. There's a lack of relationships. You know what these people in this town right here, Hamilton, Detroit, Sullivan, Beaverton, all these towns, Amory, all the way in North Carolina, you know what they need? They're looking for somebody to build a relationship with them. Somebody that will not just come along and say, hey, I'll pray for you, but somebody to build a relationship. I said this to our church, and I'm going to tell you tonight, and I don't know who quoted it, but I wrote it down. Religion will send you to hell. You need a real relationship with Jesus. And they're going to have a real relationship when we get real with them. And we get real with them by getting into their lives. So many times, you know what they say about Christians? Oh, them are the saints. Let me tell you something. I may be a saint, but that don't mean I'm perfect. I'm a blood-bought saint because of the blood of Jesus. But that word saint's gotten so tainted now they think it's perfect. Listen to me, there was only one perfect man. That was Jesus Christ. My Jesus is real. He's real, and I've seen him, and I know him. That's how come I know him. I want to challenge you tonight. Do you have a real knowledge? He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. So many times we don't want to open the Word of God because we're afraid it's going to hurt our feelings. They don't want to come and hear preachers like Brother BJ, Brother Brian, some of these other men. They don't want to hear it tonight because they know that you're going to tell them the truth. And we need to tell them the truth. World today says, well, you know, homosexuality, that's just a common thing. Don't matter. You can call it homosexuality. You can call it whatever you want. Sin is sin. Going back to what I said earlier, lying is lying. Stealing is stealing. Sin is still sin, even in 2025. We've just called it some fancy things to try to dress it up. Y'all had to forgive me. We got over to flu A about 2 weeks ago, and I lost my voice in it. Still ain't got it back, so when I preach for a long time and I get excited, my voice tends to go out. But I want to tell you tonight, God's called every one of us to have a real relationship. And to have that real relationship, we got to have a real knowledge. And that means getting in there and calling sin, sin. That means living by this word of God, not just talking about it. I was talking to Brother BJ this morning. He told me, he said, you know, he said, our Sunday school is having to grow. We had to get new Sunday school teachers and all these things since the last time I've been here. I said, hey, man, brother, that's great. Let me tell you something, though. Sunday school teachers, don't just stand for your class and tell them how to live. Live it for them. Show them how to be the child of God. Deacons in this church, be the man of God God's called you to be. Men of God in this room, be the men of God at home. Your family needs you. This word of God, a lot of them's rejecting it, but you accept it into your life. Let it change you. Don't reject the word of God. He said, I will also reject thee. How sad that is. The saddest thing in the world is for Jesus to reject you. How sad that is. Jesus said right here, God's word says, for lack of knowledge, because thou rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Then he comes down to that part about the men here. He says that thou shall be no priest to me. You say, Brother Michael, has God called me to be a priest? Can you back it up by the word of God? Don't just say it. Back it up. Let me give you this. Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 6. And hath made us kings. So who are kings? Men. He's talking to the men here. He's made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He's called you. He's equipped you. Now why ain't you being a priest in your home? I can't answer that. You got to answer that. You got to look yourself in a spiritual mirror and answer that to yourself. And sometimes, listen to me, I've looked myself in the spiritual mirror and I see some ugly things. I say, God, I messed up, God. I don't ever want to do that again. God, help me. God, I missed an opportunity. Don't ever let me miss another one. I want to be real in my own life. And I challenge you to be real in your life. Get real tonight. These altars are going to be open. You can come and pray. But don't ever walk out of God's service. Because listen to me, anytime any preacher gives an invitation, whether it's me, Brother BJ, and these men in this room, that's an invitation for you to come to God. You ain't coming just to the preacher. You coming to God's table. He's offering you to come to his table and dine with him. You need to take it. Men, be the priest in your homes. Your family needs you. Your church needs you. Your community needs you. And then he closes it by this. Back in Hosea chapter number 4. He says right there, not only that, thou shalt be no priest to me. He says, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. Oh, how we have forgotten the law of God. He says, I will also forget thy children. I'm going to tell you, for me, that scares me. I don't want God to forget my children. I know how good God is. But I also know how vengeful God is. I know the wrath of God. I know what he can do. I don't want him to forget my children. My children are growing up in a generation. Listen to me, me and Brother BJ talking this morning. We still kind of young. But brother, we didn't go through nothing what they're going through. We don't know the half of what they're going through. We didn't experience it. They're going through stuff we never went through. I'm going to tell you today, the last thing that needs to happen is for me to cause them more problems. I want to be a blessing to my children. I sat in a Sunday school class this morning, Brother Paul Jeffries. I was thinking about what Paul was talking about. It reminded me of my granddaddy. I was very proud sitting there. I thought, man, how blessed I was to have a granddaddy like that. How blessed I was to have a daddy like I had tonight. How blessed I am to have my grandmother like she is. I started thinking, I was like, God, just thank you. Because they showed me right from wrong. They didn't just tell me. They didn't just say, do it this way. Man, me and my daddy, we've plumbed a lot of houses. You know what most of the time they didn't tell me? Get out of the way. I'm going to show you how it's done. Get out of the way. You ain't listening, boy. He shows me how to do it. You know what I'm able to do now? I'm able to show my children how to do them same things. But I had to have somebody show me. Are you showing your children how to live for God? Are you showing them how to open God's word and let it change your life, how it can change their life? Are you showing or are you just telling them? I'll give you two more verses and I'm going to close tonight. Talking about the children, it goes back to Judges chapter number 2. I go back to Judges chapter number 2 and verse number 10. And I firmly believe that we're getting close to this. The man of God, Moses, has now come and he is dead. Joshua, come up. Joshua has now come up. And I think about how
Once them men of God, they died, what happens? And here in Judges chapter 2 and verse 10, it says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. In other words, they're dead. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you don't tell your children what God's done in your life, who else is going to? The world ain't going to tell them about Jesus. The school system can't tell them about Jesus. They got their hands tied. You got a duty to tell them and to live it for them. Because I'm going to tell you this, I worked for 7 years from 2010 to 2017 at Buccaneer Homes in Hamilton, Alabama. 7 years in that plant. I didn't realize how many people paid attention until the day you get ready to walk out them doors. People come up to you and say, Brother Michael, thank you. I want you to know I love you. I've been watching you. I didn't know how many people was watching. There's people watching you tonight. Are you living for them? This next generation needs to hear how good God's been in your life. Share it with them. Because I'm going to close from Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 7. Exodus 34 and verse 7. He tells them right here. He says, keeping mercy for thousands. And thank God for mercy and grace. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. And that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. I'm telling you tonight, you got a duty, men of God, women of God. Look around this room and I see a bunch of young kids. I see a bunch of babies. I got a 14-year-old teenage boy now. I got a 6-year-old boy. I got a 10-month-old baby girl today. But I got a duty to tell them about how good God is. I got a duty to share the stories that my granddaddy and my grandmother told me. I have a duty to share that to them, how God answered prayers. I remember my daddy, my granddaddy, and my grandmother telling me stories about crops. Unlike today, you used to not have a Walmart or a grocery store to go to. You used to have to grow their own food. You want to talk about getting real with God? When you plant a garden and that's your only source of food, you're going to start praying. God, answer my prayers. God, I need some rain. I need a little rain. My garden's dry. If that's your only source of food, you're going to get real with it. The problem is today, we got so many conveniences, we spoiled. We spoil. But I'm going to tell you something. We shouldn't be too spoiled to not tell others about God. Ain't nothing wrong with spoiling a little bit. I love my little baby girl. She ain't 10 months old. She done got me wrapped around her finger. But I'm going to tell you something. When she gets out of line, I tell her no. That boy may be 14 years old, but he gets out of line, and I love him. But I'm going to correct him. You're supposed to. You got to. Tell this next generation. You do it by living your life for them. You live for God. I'm going to tell you something. Your children know you more than anybody else. They see you when you're at home. They see you in your weakest points. Even in your weakest points, show them Jesus Christ. I'm going to have a word of prayer and I'm going to turn it over to Brother BJ. And I challenge you tonight, if God's speaking to you, come up here and settle it before.